talking to you more about it. I've got some mentors around the country and that are helping me and just sent me a bunch of information today in terms of application, in terms of guidelines for some of the things that we want to do this year. So I'll just be unveiling that as we go throughout the year. But I want to encourage you, particularly if you've got a dream in your heart, something. In fact, today I went through, I was praying for those many of those prayer requests that you gave me, and I went through and just started reading them, and just reading some of them, some of the wants of the, and needs of the people. And many of the things are very simple things that just take some adjustment in lifestyle. Just take, you know, many of you write things about finances. Finances is a very, very simple thing to walk in abundance in. It is really a matter of discovering your giftings and getting in that area and becoming the best at what you naturally have been gifted to do. And many people are just working on jobs. They work where they work because they were hiring. And you just have to make that shift. And that was one of the things that Shanae and I did early on that has really blessed our life. And that it was in pursuing God's purpose for our life. And so what I'm going to begin sharing with you today about the Believer's Ministry will help some of those things unfold. Some of those things. How many of you are right now perhaps working in a career that you're not madly in love with, but you know what I'm talking about. You're not in love with it, but it's paying the bills. Amen. Yeah. I know that kind of frustration, and that can be a frustrating place in life. Don't settle for that. And this year, if you'll walk with us and stick with us and be consistent and be diligent and really adhere to what we're saying in the Word, those things will begin to resolve for you. They'll begin to resolve. You begin to get the lights to come on, so to speak, regarding those things. So let's start today. I want to talk to you about the Believer's Ministry. And first off, what I want to say to you is that every single believer is called to the ministry. Every single believer is called to the ministry. Many think that just the fivefold ministry, the evangelist, the pastor, teacher, the prophet, and the apostle are the only ones that are called to the fivefold, called to the ministry. They are the fivefold ministry, but every believer is born again for the ministry. You are called to the ministry. Now, that doesn't mean quit your job and start a church. I've seen many people in this, over the years, we've been here, it'll be 20 years this year, right? 20 years, I've seen since I moved here and started this church, a litany of people. I can make a long list of people because we didn't disciple properly. We didn't teach people properly that, you know, they started learning some things and maybe their job wasn't working out. This, when you're called to do this, when you're called to do anything, you make it look easy. So a litany of people. I could just go through a bunch of names. Some dead, none successful, that have just tried to start a church out of this church. Right. And it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. This is not a job. You have to be called to do this. And the fivefold ministry. You know what I mean? I think I want to be a pastor. That looks pretty nice. It will kill you. Are y'all listening to me? And I haven't seen one person do this successfully who's done it wrong, who's come in here and, you know, and that's one of the things when we got to be real cognizant and real careful with starting life groups and you having people in your home and that kind of sort of thing. We got to really vet you and make sure that you understand what this is all about and have some real procedure in place and all that kind of stuff. And that's what we're doing. But all of us are called to the ministry, but not necessarily the fivefold ministry. I'll wait a couple weeks to go into the detail about that. But that doesn't mean quit your job, start a website, and start a church, and start collecting people, and quit your job, and that sort of thing. Come on, somebody say amen right there. Why people typically stop coming to church is because they're not fulfilling their purpose as a believer and get bored. You're not called to just come here and sit in a pew. You are part of the ministry, and you're a vital part of the ministry, and you just have to know what part it is. And today in the first service, I took a poll afterwards. I said, how many of y'all learned something today that you'd never learned? Every hand in there was up. I was blown away, and they were just absolutely motivated and inspired and encouraged, all right? So why people typically stop coming to church is because they're not fulfilling their purpose as a believer, and they just simply get bored. Amen? I wrote here in letter C, why 7 out of 10 pastors that start in ministry quit within 5 years is because they're not fulfilling their purpose in the ministry. Why you see on Facebook and you hear that pastors commit suicide? A lot of pastors commit suicide. They're not fulfilling their purpose in the ministry. We haven't done it right. There has to be a paradigm shift, and we haven't done it according to the Word, myself included. myself included. It's amazing, and I was talking at the leadership meeting, and somebody, and I was sharing my heart about these things, and one of the leaders came up and said, "No, Pastor, it's the right exact timing. It's the right timing. I wish I had understood these things earlier. Instead of being 58, I might be 38 now." You know, but God knows perfect timing and all that kind of sort of stuff. But watch. Those in the Five Bold Ministry are not some superior elite class of believers that God has chosen to do the work of the ministry. One of the things that we all have to understand, and I know that many of us don't understand this because of the calls that I get and the requests that I get. As I'm out in public because we're on television, that kind of stuff, everywhere I go, I'm stopped. Everywhere, particularly in Walmart, everywhere I'm going, somebody says, "Hey, Pastor Stokes, will you pray for me?" and all that kind of stuff. And I do it always, 100% of the time. They think they're just going to tell me something and walk away. I grab their hand. I say, "Well, let's pray right now." Wherever we are, I grab their hand and I pray for them right there. And sometimes they're kind of shocked. I'll put my hands on them and so on and so forth. They say, "Would you pray for my father?" I say, "What's his name?" And I grab them and whatever, that kind of thing. But oftentimes we have requests for me to come over to, you know, some crazy requests. You know, come over and pray for my business. Come over and pray for my house. And come over and pray for my dog. And come over and do all this kind of stuff. And I'm not going to do that. You come on, somebody. And it's not even appropriate for me to do. But because people don't know what the ministry is supposed to do, that they're, you know, I'm asked to do stuff like that. You got it. And then they get offended when I don't do it. Come on, somebody. Hit the person next to you and say, "I hope he ain't talking about you." Amen. So today, as we start the series of the Believer's Ministry, when you understand your corporate call in the ministry, your unique call will begin to more unfold. You can never fulfill your unique assignment, and each of us, and we're going to see it in the passages that I'm going to read to you, but you'll never fulfill your unique assignment until you understand your corporate assignment in the body of Christ, because your unique assignment is connected to that corporate assignment. We're all living stones. We're lively stones, but we build a house. You're just one stone in the house. But if you don't understand what the house is about, you'll miss what your part of that house is. Are y'all following me? And so this is vitally important. And often we focus a lot on your unique purpose, but we haven't looked at your corporate purpose. And if you don't understand that, you'll never fit right. You'll jump from church to church, spouse to spouse, and never really understand what this whole thing is about. And that's where we want to start on this first Bible study of 2020. Amen? So turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. And first of all, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to read from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, all the way through Ephesians 5, verse 20. I'm just going to Cadillac right through it, and I may stop at a couple places, but I did this at the first service. Let me see. New King James. Why don't you, let's put this, can y'all do this for me? Put it in NIV. All the translations are good, but a couple places it brings out some really good things. Now, if y'all can, give me a signal back there if y'all can do that. This whole text, that just the read through from chapter 4 and 5 that I'm going to read, can y'all put it in NIV for me back there? Okay, go ahead. And the first verse kind of sets the tone for what Paul's talking about here. All right, Ephesians talks about walking, sitting, and standing. I don't want to go into all the details about what Ephesians is all about, but right here in chapter 4, NIV, thank y'all, make some noise for him in the back. Paul begins to describe the call of every believer. Every believer. Watch here. Paul says, "As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you, all of us as believers, to live a life worthy of the calling you've received." All of us have received a call. As believers, every one of us are called to the ministry. Say, "I'm called to the ministry."
I'm called to the ministry.
Every believer is. You're born again to be in the ministry. All right. And so then what he does in this whole chapter is tell us, because of the calling that we've all received, we have to live a certain way. We can't live like the world. You disqualify yourself for the call that you've been called to when you live outside of these guidelines that he's going to set here. Are y'all listening to me? Watch what he says. Be completely humble and gentle. All right, this is just talking about fruit of the Spirit here. Be patient, right? Isn't that one of the fruit of the Spirit? Bearing with one another in love. So he's saying, now keep what he's saying here, because from verse 1 to verse 6, he's going to say this whole thing about being unified, walking in unity, walking in oneness as a corporate body of believers. Are y'all with me? Make every effort, here it is, to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Amen? Here he is. He's talking about unity. We've all been called to the same body. We've all been called with the same corporate calling.
That's right.
Watch how he says it here. There is one body there and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Do you get the point here? This is kind of cool. The God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in y'all. That's the ghetto version, in you all. Do y'all hear? Isn't that kind of cool what he's saying? He's saying, listen, all of us have been called to one body for one purpose. All of us have the same call in the body of Christ, the corporate call. He said, so we must walk in unity for this to be effective and for it to operate correctly, right? Watch this. But to each one of us, and this verse I'm gonna show you in this translation, and is that B back there? Hey, baby, after I read this one, put this one in the Amplified, just this verse. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Put it in the Amplified version. What he was talking about from verse 1 to 6 is that all of us have one corporate call in the body. But then in verse 7 he says, yet grace, God's unmerited favor, was given to each of us individually, not indiscriminately, but in different ways. He said, now we all have a common corporate call, but each of us have an individual unique call that was given, that was not given indiscriminately, it was given discriminately. Did y'all see what he's saying? That means that Bobby's gift is not like Enda's, and Enda's gift is not like Shanae's. Shanae's gift is not like my mom's. Mom's gift is not like Joe's, and Joe's gift is not like Grandma's. All of our gifts are all unique. First, he says we all have one corporate common call, but each of us have been gifted differently. Why? Because with this one common call, we've been gifted uniquely to be somewhere else. Bob is going to be somewhere else different than Victor is going to be. And Victor's going to be somewhere different than where Alma's going to be. And Alma's going to be somewhere different than Jack and Dana. They're going to be in different places with a common corporate call, but because of their unique difference, it's going to place them somewhere else.
Right.
Now, if you don't get the global or the corporate call right, you won't fit in where you're supposed to get in. Y'all get that? And which is why he talks about that corporate call before he mentions that you've been uniquely gifted. Come on, are y'all learning already? Okay, let's go on down to verse 8 and go back to NIV. We can go back to NIV if you don't mind up there. Make some noise for Brooke in the back. Thank you, baby. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, talking about Jesus, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? Next. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. What he's saying right here is what God did was send Jesus here, descended to the earth, but then he ascended to the heavens. He died and now he's seated in heaven so that he could bring heaven and earth into a place of unity where he's Lord over everything in the universe.
Amen.
That's what he's essentially saying in this. And we're a part of this whole plan. You are not an accident. You are vitally important. Amen? Okay. Verse 11. Now from verse 11 to 16, he's going to describe the purpose of the fivefold ministry. We're all called to the ministry, but here, watch what he says. So Christ himself gave apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. I'm going to read through this, and then we're going to come back to these verses. To equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and be mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants. He's explaining what the fivefold ministry's role is in this whole scheme of things, right? Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, yes, many believers get so deceived and caught up in foolishness and miss God in a major way. He's going to tell us what we get caught up in here. Just, y'all are clapping now, but get ready. Buckle your seatbelt. Instead, when you get mature, fivefold ministry's purpose is to do that. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect much the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Amen. And just like your kids, what he's saying right here, we love babies and they have a right to poop and cry and mess, but they better grow up or something's wrong. If they're still doing, if they're still putting diapers on a 13-year-old, there's something went wrong. But unfortunately, the body of Christ is still wearing diapers. Stick with me. From him who the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. All right. Well, coming back to all that. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Listen, church, he's telling us here, in order to work to walk out your corporate call and your unique call of grace, your assignment, he says, you can't live like the Gentiles do. The Gentiles shack up, tell lies, do all kinds of foolishness, and unfortunately, the church is more... they're more discipled by the world and the culture than Christ and the Word. So the church does the same stuff and wonders why they're broke, busted. I couldn't hit the high note today. Yeah, I wasn't ready for the high note. So this, They are darkened in their understanding. And look at this. The world, they're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as they indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. Keep going. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. He said, why is he even saying this? He's saying this because Christians are doing the same stupid stuff, shacking up, living up, and having sexual issues, having sex outside of genuine marriage. Right. Listen, don't you be deceived by the world. You'd be amazed at the number of people that I've had sit in front of my desk, sit in front of me and say, well, you know, we're married common law. No, you're not.
That's right.
That's not God's way. Grow up and be a real Christian. Stop faking this. Now, if you just want to fake it and just die out in the wilderness, that's your business. Do that. And we see that most of the children of Israel, that first generation, did, except for Joshua and Caleb. Even Moses. Because they didn't get those things. Come Sunday, I'll continue on where we left off. Amen. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Say deceitful.
Deceitful.
Don't be deceived, saint of God.
Right.
Don't get caught up in the world's foolishness. Watch this. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. He said, you got to change your thinking if you're going to walk out what God has for you. Watch this. And put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, to saints. He says, stop lying to each other. For we are, stop faking the funk. Thank you, Alma. Stop being a fake. Oh, for we are all members of one body. He's saying your foolishness is affecting the growth of this body. Your foolishness is affecting the whole growth of the body. Come on, somebody. But selfish Christians do what they want to do and can care less what everybody else says about it. Say amen or oh me. In your anger, do not sin. Come on, all of us get angry at stuff. He says, but don't get into sin because of it, right? Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. So this whole chapter is about behavior because of your call. And if you're going to walk in that call, he says, you got to put these things in check. He says, and do not give the devil a foothold. Don't give place to the devil. Anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer. Stop stealing! Come on, y'all. Do y'all get this? Okay, let me take it right down where y'all are. Stealing cable. People be stealing cable. No, you know where it's illegal. Where you got to, you go out there. Come on, you slide the cable, dude. Watch your head. Look at here, doc. It's $50, and you got. Come on, whatever it is. Come on, somebody. Watch, and if you understand this, you understand. God wants to elevate your life. He wanted to take the children of Israel into their promised land, but they were running so much game and foolishness. They died in the wilderness. And I'm telling you, some of you will die in the wilderness if you don't straighten out some of the foolishness. Am I smiling? Amen. Jack, okay, because I got my retainers in. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work. All right, I said something in the first service that they didn't like, but I'm going to say it anyway here too. No, they didn't. They didn't mind it. But, you were there in the first service, weren't you? That work is a part of the character and attribute of God. To work is good. You need to work. When people stand out with signs and say, we'll work for food, they're lying. Because they're standing in front of the places that will hire them. Are y'all with me? Man, I was at my favorite place at Walmart. Yeah, I was at my family to tell the story. I was at Walmart on Wendover. And, you know, you're going to run into a litany of stuff. Do you ever go to the litany? You catch all kinds of stuff. So I'm coming out to my car, right? And I come out to my car, and I can start my car while I'm on my way up there. So I start my car, I hit the button, the thing comes up, and I see a guy. Come on, these glasses can see too. Yeah. I can see in my peripheral vision, some dude's kind of watching me. I'm watching everything. So I get over to my car, and the brother walks over to me. He says, hey, can I put that cart back for you? I said, certainly. I'm putting my groceries in my car. He sees what kind of car it is, and put my stuff in there. And then he comes back, excuse me, sir, let me ask you a question. I'm hungry. Can you help me out? I said, yeah. I said, now they no longer have the McDonald's in this one, but there's one right across the street. I said, why don't you wait right here? What you want? I'll get you anything you want over at the McDonald's. No, dog. First he was asking me a bunch of questions about Christmas and how was my Christmas. Christmas was lovely. After he pushed my cart back in where the thing was, he came back and said, can I ask you another question? I said, you already asked me 5. Go ahead. One more, he ain't going to hurry. Could you help me out, man? I'm really hungry. I said, no problem. They don't have the McDonald's in here because sometimes people would ask me, and I'd go right in the McDonald's and say, hey, you hungry? Let's go in here. Oh, no. And they got mad, right? He said, well, you want to wait right here? I'll just run right across the street and grab you something, whatever you want, what you want. No. I said, no, Doc, I'm not going to give you no money. I'm not going to do that. I don't do that, right? Well, I came out of here after I leave here. Every service after I leave here. Now watch, as I'm pulling out the parking lot, everybody got signs. Come on, Sam's Club. They are right out there. They know that you've been at work and spending your money. Now you've been at work and now you're spending your money, and they're going to ask you for yours. And every time we do that, we encourage them not to go to work. Not to go to work and do their gift. Now watch, many people think I'm harsh for saying this, but the truth is, if you never discover your giftings and your abilities, you'll always be broke. You've got to work and utilize the giftings that you've been given. Are y'all with me? It's easy to stand there. Come on. It's easy for all of us to go to work and you stand there and say, give me some. Please. That's not right. Do y'all think it is? Y'all mad? Let me read the Bible again. Anyone who has been stealing must no longer steal, but must work. Doing something useful with their own hands that they may have something to share with those in need. There's a difference with people that are in need and people that are in lazy. Come on, somebody. That'll preach, but let me move on. I'm trying to get somewhere. Watch this. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. What is he doing? He's giving us instruction in behavior and lifestyle so that we can fulfill our assignment and call. Get that cussing and foolish talk, nasty talk out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. All right? And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Right? Next. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. He's saying this is going to hurt that call that you've got. And it's going to hurt corporately and individually as well. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Next. Chapter 5, verse 1. I'm going to 20. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Next. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality. Let me read that part again. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality. Do y'all see how big he makes this? And as we read on Sunday, the children of Israel, 23 fell dead in one day for sexual immorality. Now, we're not under the law. We're not under the administration of the law. We're not under the legalism of the law. We're not under the wrath of God of the law. But all of the law, statutes, all those things are principles and truths of God's divine order. And in order to have divine blessing, you must have divine order. So you won't fall down dead by God's wrath. You're not going to be under God's wrath today. He loves you as a saint of God. He loves you. But what will happen is you will... Oh, we're going to read it here. I don't even have to say it. Watch this. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. He said, replace that with right talk, which is thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, watch this, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. What is he saying here? The children of Israel had an inheritance. They had an inheritance and a promised land. Our promised land is in Christ. We've received an inheritance. Part of your inheritance is the Holy Spirit. Part of my inheritance, let's talk about Lee Stokes. Part of my inheritance is destiny. This is a part of it. He's saying if you're an immoral person, if you're walking in sexual promiscuity, walking in immorality, all that stuff, he says, you don't get your inheritance. You're born again. You'll make it to heaven, just like the children of Israel did. But they missed out on their inheritance. So he's saying here, you're going to sell yourself short because you'll disqualify yourself for the benefit of being in the kingdom of God. Amen. Come on, hit somebody next to you. Isn't that good? Good. Y'all didn't like that. Y'all better come on, somebody. Y'all acting like everybody living in foolishness here. I know I'm talking to some disciples here. Say amen. Amen. So now watch, y'all, this is so simple to correct, because what many Christians do is just start making up a bunch of excuses. You get it? And so I'm telling everyone here, because I'm going to tell my singers, my choir, my band, because I'm not going to put a microphone in your hand if you're living in adultery and fornication. Now, there's a difference from missing it and making a mistake. Right. That's different than saying, I'm just going to live in this, and you can't tell me nothing. That I'm going to fix. And all I'm going to do is just say, no, you can't be on my platform. Right. You can sit out here, but you can't stand up here. Right. You can't. Because I'm now signing on to that and saying it's all right. And I am responsible for this house. Come on, somebody. That is not going to happen. Is that all right? Yeah. We have to vet that. We cannot tolerate those things. And that's not saying we don't love you. That's just saying we do love you. Right. And get it right or come on, somebody. Hallelujah. All right. This can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as a person as is an idolater. We talked about that on Sunday. That's putting anything before God. Has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Next. Let no one deceive you with empty words. God. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Now, again, we know under the new covenant, God's wrath hasn't come upon us now. But there is going to be a day of God's wrath. It's called Judgment Day. Not on the believer, but on the unbeliever. Come on, somebody knows who he's talking about there, the unbeliever. Next. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Oh, y'all, do y'all get this? Most of your problems are in life are going to be with connecting with the wrong people. Most of your problems in life, I would venture to say like 90% of your problems are going to be you connect to losers. You connect to somebody who convinces you that something's okay that isn't. I'm amazed. Shanae and I were talking because we were talking with our guy who does construction here, and he was telling Shanae about some of the things that's going on in these schools that I can't even say from this pulpit. I can't say it. It's too lewd. It's too vile. It's too sickening for me to say across and with the ears that are in here. Are y'all listening to me? But it is. I cannot say it. I cannot. Isn't that right? But what's going on? Let me tell you. Your kids don't have a chance in hell without you and Jesus. They do not have a chance. Our school system and this culture has turned things up sexually in a way that is unbelievable. Unbelievable. What they're doing in classrooms, Alma knows, what they're doing in classrooms in some of these schools and what some of these athletes and in school buses that are parked and all this kind of stuff that is vile. And many believers have just accepted this as norm. It's so common that we can't even hardly discipline it. You get what I'm saying? Put everybody out of school. And think it's normal. We have to raise a standard. We have to be a standard. And without the church, if the church starts lying and conniving and shacking up and doing everything the world does, are you kidding? Jesus said it. If we are salt and light, if we're not, he's not going to put light under a lampshade. He's not going to do that. He said, if you've lost your flavor of godliness and holiness, you're no good for anything but to be trampled on. Come on, somebody. And this is why many believers never move ahead. They just keep going around the same mountain, and God is gracious and merciful and hopes that you get it. But if I don't say it, I'm wrong. People get mad at me. I got somebody on Facebook that got mad at me for just posting a proverb that said the adulterer or something like that. If you commit adultery on your wife, the man who commits adultery on his wife doesn't have good sense, and something else it says. I can't even remember. And somebody got mad at that. But he's grace. He's grace. Listen. God loves the drug addict and the heroin addict. But if we don't stand up and tell our kids drugs will kill you, don't do it. But God is gracious. Drugs will kill them and God will love them. But do you want your kids killed over drugs and sex and promiscuity and foolishness? You say don't do it. Come on, somebody. God, saints are so blessed. Christians, man. Y'all don't even know what I go through in life. Good God, Jesus. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness. You were once darkness, but now you are the light, our light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Do stuff out in the open. Come on, somebody. You get it? There's no secrets. I don't have to keep something a secret. If you're keeping secrets, it's because it's not legit. My wife talks about that all the time. You got it. If you're some dude's secret, come on. Okay, I got to hurry up. Yeah. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness. Here's the fruit of light. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Next. And find out what pleases God. Pleases the Lord. Next. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Good God. That doesn't mean go out and put people on blast, but that means if you got connections and with people, show them in love. That's why it said speaking the truth in love will grow up. We're talking about with our fellow brother and sister. Right there speaking, if somebody's caught up in some foolishness, be loving enough to say, that's foolish. Don't get caught up in that, boo. That's going to tear you up. You're going to end up 50 stuck. Don't do it. It is shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret. Good God. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. Mm-hmm. That is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. But be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Tell the person next to you, say, that's talking to us. It was wisdom. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. About one version says, redeeming back the time for the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. People are always trying to find a loophole. I'm trying to find a loophole in it. Trying to get as close to sin as they possibly can without smelling like smoke and fire. Come on, you ought to be trying to get closest to Jesus as you can. And living in light so people can see your light. Come on, somebody. Let me read them. Do not get drunk on wine or liquor or whatever else. Jack Daniels.
Just me.
You know, your parents knew what they was doing. It was like, we got to call this boy Jack Daniel. I'm just playing, man. You know I'm joking. I can only joke because that's my boy. You know what I'm saying. Y'all ain't mad at that. You know I'm just joking. Don't get drunk on wine. Now, let's not get deep, though. Obviously said don't get drunk on wine. Now, not everybody can. You know what I'm saying? It's not a sin to drink. It's a sin to get drunk. Y'all get that? We're not deep here. But Jesus' first miracle was turning water into wine. So it's obvious, unless Jesus wanted everybody to sin. I mean, right? That wasn't the case. But it's drunk. It's excess. Right. Eat it. How many of y'all know we got to eat? Yeah. But the Bible calls, what is it called? Gluttony. Yeah, come on, somebody. I've committed that once or twice myself. Come on, somebody. Like, I don't care how full I am. Oh. Pass out. Let's see. Which leads to debauchery. Come on, somebody. He's saying drunk will lead to some foolishness. Somebody said amen. Amen. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, songs, songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Next. Last one. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see this whole thing, and then he goes into marriage, the marriage behavior for the saint of God to walk out their calling. All right, so now watch. Now let's just go back to verse 11, and I'm going to read these in the NLT. Did I read that one? Yeah. Go back to verse 11 for me back there in chapter 4. Are they with me in the back there? What'd she say? Okay, praise the Lord. There it is. Is there? Okay, here we go. Now, I'm just going to focus on these few verses right here, and then we're going to go home. Watch this. This is going to open your eyes to some real truths right here. Watch this. Now, today what we want to talk about is what's the purpose of the fivefold ministry. All right? Let's understand that. Understand the purpose of the fivefold ministry. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, right? Next. Their responsibility, I'm reading from the NLT, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Two things that were, back up to that verse for me. Put it in NIV, or I read it in NIV once. How about New King James Version? Purpose of the fivefold ministry. I'm one of those. I'm a pastor teacher. The fivefold ministry is for the equipping of the saints to do what? For the work of the ministry. My job, the fivefold ministry's job, is not to do the work of the ministry, to equip you to do the work of the ministry.
Right. Amen.
Pastor Stokes, would you come? So-and-so, I'm mad at you because you didn't go to the hospital. You knew. Why didn't you go? Now, this is important that we understand this, because many people think that they pay us to do the work of the ministry. Our job, according to God, is to equip you to do the work of the ministry and to build up or edify the body of Christ. That's your job.
Yeah. Right.
My job, the pastor, all the fivefold ministry, the evangelist isn't supposed to go out and win the lost. The evangelist is to train you to win the lost. The fivefold ministry, you know, the old school was hire in some big time evangelist. He comes in, we pay him, and he wins the lost. Jimmy, what's his name? In Charlotte, Billy Graham. Billy Graham, was it Billy Graham? Yes, it was Billy Graham. Billy Graham said that if 10% of the people that he won to the Lord actually got saved, he would consider that a victory. If 10% came down and actually got saved, he would consider that a victory. Have y'all seen this? The church, the fivefold ministry is not going to change the world. Television, televangelists, preachers, big name preachers are not going to change. It's the people. They don't, the world could care less. They think we're crazy. They're looking at you, saint of God. And when you run in game, still doing the same foolishness they're doing, you just crapped on the whole body of Christ. You've limited the growth of the body of Christ. Come on, somebody. You made Jesus look bad. Are y'all with me? For the equipping of the saints, so the fivefold ministry is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry and for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. Now watch. My job is to equip you and to equip you to build up the body. But when we're out, just like I'm at Walmart or whatever, or wherever I go, if we're on a vacation, I'm just like you. I'm going to be a witness where I am. Right. Shannon and I, we're sitting on an airplane. This guy, you know, we're always looking for an opportunity. So what do you guys do? Oh, we're pastors. You guys don't look like pastors. Really? What do pastors look like? Then we sit right next to a person, right? And then we just tell them about Jesus. God is good. God is good. And because we're just regular people. Just like you. We're not some super saints that have more anointing and more power. Now watch. Because I know more, I may walk in a whole lot more than you, but because I'm discipled. But that's what we got to get you, discipled, so you can walk in more. And watch. The equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Where do you do the work of the ministry? Wherever you are. And which is why it's so important that you recognize your gifts. It's not just go sign up an application and go wherever you want to. Lord, thank you, Jesus. And you start understanding your purpose and your destiny based on your giftings, so it can put you in a place. But you got to know, I'm not just there to get a paycheck. I'm not just there to work. Pastor, I'm called to the ministry. Give me an application. No, we don't want you working here. God needs you out there being a representative. My job is to equip you to go out there where you are and be a light to the world there. Not a deep weirdo. Don't put on your screen, say, well, I'm going to heaven and you're not. Come ask me about Jesus. Please. I want to ask you nothing. Crazy? Okay, you see, go to the next verse. I'm sorry. Am I screaming? Sorry, Jana. Watch. How long will this occur? Watch this. So y'all get what the fivefold ministry's job is? Do you get what your job is? Your job is actually to do the ministry. To do the work of the ministry and build up the body. Your job. And mine when I'm outside of here. When I'm here, my job is to train you to do it. Equip you to do it. That's called discipling. That's why Jesus could leave. If he hadn't discipled, he couldn't have left. He had to disciple them to do what he did. This will continue until we all come to such unity in the faith and knowledge. If you got your Bible open, so that word knowledge is in your Bible too. That word is epinosis. Do you remember when I was teaching on the series called Knowing God, I taught you a word called gnosis. Right? Gnosis means having a knowledge of God, a personal knowledge of God, an intimate relationship with him. Epignosis means all full complete knowledge. Not just, exact full knowledge. What is he saying here? He says, we're going to go back to the verse for me, baby. This will continue. What will continue? us training the body of Christ to do the work of the ministry. This will happen until we all come to such unity in the faith and we have full knowledge of God. Full and exact knowledge of God. When's that going to happen? That's forever. We're going to keep doing that. You get it? God's son, that we will be, look at the goal, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. He's saying this is supposed to mature us. Next. Please. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like truth. You get it? Next, please. Instead, we will speak the truth. We won't be tricked by people trying to sell us some truth, right? He said, no, actually, we'll speak the truth in love. Watch this. Growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. The goal of the church is to grow us up. Why we come to church, the responsibility of the church is to create an atmosphere where you and I can become mature saints. We're not supposed, Paul said it, as babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Come on, I mean, you have a baby. Aren't you expecting that baby to grow up? You don't want to be taken care of some 40-year-old. You get it? If you are, something went wrong in that developmental stage. Come on, somebody. And things do go wrong in those kind of things, and so you have to go back and track back and fix it. But that's what we're doing now. That's called discipling. Hit the person next to you and say, we need to be discipled. All right, listen to me. And as we go through this, you'll see. Watch it. Stick with me. It said it makes the whole, oh, watch this. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. When each of us play our role, do our part, the whole body benefits and grows up together. Right. Do you get it? What if my body, my arm didn't grow, but the rest of my body grew? I'd be deformed. What if my head grew, but the rest of my body didn't grow? Kind of like that. You know what I'm saying. I've been over here. I shouldn't have hung out over here. You knew something was coming. I'm sorry. It started with your mom and the Jack Daniels and said, where was I, y'all? Oh, yeah. So as we all, look, y'all, as we all, now watch, did you see where he started first? He said, we got to first understand our corporate call and our behavior in this corporate call so that we can walk out our unique call. Yes. And as we all walk out our corporate call to the body of Christ, and I'm going to explain all these things as we go with me. This is just week one. You got to keep coming back. So you get what I'm saying? We as believers, we have to show up at work like representatives of the kingdom of God. Amen. Not tardy, not late, not ghetto. Come on, somebody. Come on. Look good, smell good. Some of y'all need to be introduced to some soap and water and detergent. Because it gives Christ a bad name when we stink. Mark, you're crazy. Have you ever talked to anybody with halitosis? Halitosis? Like, oh. It's like you just want to avoid him. I don't care what Jesus you got. I just don't want to talk to you. Seems like you got hell on your mouth. Come on. Where was I? He made. Okay. Do I have one verse? Is this the last one? Is that the last one? That's the last one, baby? Okay. Thank you, Brooke. Close your Bible. I'm finished. Do y'all see this? Do y'all see what my assignment is and what yours is? I'm to equip you. If you never get equipped, you never grow up. Come on, somebody. And he tells us what are signs of not growing up. Strife, division, envy. Can't submit to authority. It's immaturity. Come on, have you ever told a little baby, stop crying like that. The baby ain't going to stop. He's not mature enough to stop. He don't understand that. And when you can't submit to a proper authority, it's because you're immature. When there's envy and strife and divisions and always fussing, And watch now. Immaturity doesn't know they're immature. And this can be offensive because they don't know. Everybody in here, yeah, that's right, Pastor Stokes. And it's you. But I can't say it because you'll be offended by that, because immaturity is very offended very easily. Come on, somebody. Why I wrote on my, get your offering. We're closing right now. Did y'all receive that tonight? How many of y'all learned tonight? Amen. Look at that. Look around. Look at that. 100% of people learn tonight. So where we're going to go, we're going to dig in deeper. We're going to understand what our part of the ministry is. We're going to get into the details of all this. Are y'all with me? So that we understand clearly what our role is at work, what we're to do, what is my true ultimate purpose for being alive? And inside of that scope is what your unique purpose fits in there. Your unique purpose fits in this scope. In the corporate scope. Are y'all learning? Get your seed, get your tithe. How many tithers, how many givers in this place? Now, I didn't say liars and fibbers. I read a bunch of the stuff. People are saying, I'm praying that I get enough money to start tithing. You do. The moment you got a dime, you got enough to tithe. Tithing is 10% of your first. It's a faith thing. Amen? As long as you wait, you'll always be waiting. You have to trust God with that. Trust God with your finances. That's what kept it. Ooh, come Sunday. How many of y'all were here Sunday? Wasn't it an amazing truth? If you weren't here, go back and watch, and I'm going to pick up where we were next week. But get here Sunday, amen? Bring somebody with you. How many of y'all know somebody that needs to hear what we're sharing right now? Invite them. People don't come to church because they simply weren't invited. Go pick them up if you have to. Amen? Amen. Amen. Y'all got your seed, you got your tithe, you got your offering. You want to come on up, baby? Good God, I like those shoes. You want me to take our offering?
No, this is Grandma.
That's Grandma. Oh, okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. okay. Amen. Isn't that good stuff, y'all? Let's see. What else is going on? Sunday. It's just going to be good. I've been in my office all day. There's two stops in between Egypt and Canaan land. We're going to take a look at the first stop today, what it is, on Sunday. And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be good news. I can hardly wait, y'all. I can't wait. I love this job. It's amazing how much I hated my job when I was doing the wrong thing. When you're doing what your first time gets. Anybody here for the first time? You ain't been here before, and here you are tonight. Anybody like that? Now, we're going to help y'all. We're going to get our situation on Wednesday so your kids can get their homework done. And I may even, and I'll try to shorten service and just get it so we can make it conducive for everybody, your whole family. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Y'all got your seed? You got your offering?
Yeah.
Thank y'all. We need ushers. We need greeters. We're going to teach you all that too. We're going to teach you to serve. We're going to disciple you. Say, I want to be discipled. Yeah. And a mature disciple disciples others. That's the sign of maturity. I'm able to disciple someone else. But you got to disciple them the right way, because many of us are already discipled. That's why we're doing some of the stupidness that we're doing. We've been discipled incorrectly. So we got to disciple you correctly. Come on, somebody. Stand up on your feet. Get your seat in your hand. Tell that person sitting next to you or standing next to you right now. Say, you even look better now than you did when you got here. I ain't playing. Say, we are people of excellence. When you're going to work tomorrow, put a smile on your face. Come on, somebody. With a good attitude. Y'all see what I'm saying? When stuff jumps off and goes wrong, don't act like everybody, hey, I can't stand him either. I know what I'm saying. Shut your mouth. Come on, somebody. Oh, y'all didn't like that. Praise the Lord. Somebody's going to be offended at that. You're just indicating where you are. Amen. Get your seat. Let's make this faith confession real loud and real strong. Ready? Say it. I profess that I have in because you I bring the and worship you via through your come on all of my I reign in life and Come on. With all. Because of the. Come on. I am. And the. Are. Come on, somebody make some noise for Jesus in this place. Amen. Hey, y'all. I'm so proud of y'all coming out tonight. Come out. We'll be here Sunday. Be on the look at church, at work. Be on the lookout for hurting people, to encourage them, to tell them that Jesus loves them. One of the statements I always say is, God's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. You would be amazed at how many people remember that and think that God's mad at them. Tell them, God's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. Now they like you. They want to hear about God. Amen? Amen? Pray about when you go into work. How can I be a light in that dark place? Amen? Let me pray for you. Y'all happy? Amen. Let me pray for you. They're all finished with that. I declare you blessed to be a blessing. By the way, anybody here for the first, and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Anybody like that? Anybody here, by the way, for the first time? You ain't never been here. Anybody like that? Y'all know me and I know y'all? All right. I declare blessing, favor, peace, grace, abundance. I declare the wisdom of God on you that you'll seek after and get. I declare that you'll walk in your giftings, that you'll pursue and seek after the Lord so that you understand why you're alive, that you understand your unique call and your giftings, that you'll make an assessment of those things and begin to move towards them. As you move closer and closer to God, draw nearer to him, he'll draw nearer and nearer to you. I declare you blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. I love y'all. I can't wait to see you on Sunday. Peace.